you dinks.
Welcome to Dennis in the Know. This is your backstage pass for current trends, politics, and education in the dental world. I'm Dr. Jeff Horowitz.
It is me.
With me is Dr. Jennifer Bell, you know her as JB, and Dr. Chad Duplantis. We are all practicing dentists, we are all educators, and we are all business owners. Our job is to bring all of you in the know.
The entire world was in my office today. Been a little bit of a crazy week, but we'll get to that a little bit later. In the meanwhile, want to thank all of you for joining us for a hump day happy hour. We are Dennis in the Know. We are your backstage pass for current trends, politics, and education in the dental world. We are live, and we are over a cocktail, as always. And as always, I am with two of my best friends in the world, Dr. Chad Duplantis and Dr. Jennifer Bell. Lots of cool stuff going on. I'm fresh off of a great visit with my two friends. The Dinks met in Raleigh. We got a whole bunch of stuff done. And even some we didn't get done. But what we have planned for this upcoming year, I'm just so proud, and I couldn't be doing it with two better people. So as all of you know out there, we are all three of us practicing dentists. We are all educators, and we are all business owners. And our job is to bring all of you in the know. So my friends, who I haven't seen in days now, how was your week? What's been going on since we met?
I think Jennifer's having a week this week.
How do you know?
Good or bad?
Because you texted me today and you confirmed that Andy Williams is full of shit.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I saw that. Well, I'm ready to talk about organized dentistry and the incredible dentist that we have about to come on. And I just love her because she went to the she teaches at the Woody Harrelson Dental School. So,
and I like her because her name's Tanya.
In all seriousness.
Okay, let's introduce
the child. What's your mama's name?
Huge fortune of hanging out with Tanya at SmileCon and really getting to know her. I think Chad and I have both been on her podcast, Dental Fuel, as well. Probably not going on new dentists on the block. And I think that's obvious because Chad is old. And so ipso facto, I'm also lumped into the same old group, but maybe someday. Anyway, an incredible human, first off, a phenomenal physician. She's originally from El Paso, Texas, and has moved back to her home community where she works for La Clinica de Familia, which is an FQHC, which we're going to talk a little bit more about that, where she serves as the dental director for that site. But she's also part-time faculty as well at the Woody L. Hunt School of Dental Medicine, a graduate from 2018 from the Texas School of Dentistry in Houston, and also completed her AEGD residency in 2019. I think for me, because we all have similar credentials, we have a job, we graduate from dental school, we've done residencies, et cetera. Probably the thing that stands out the most to me was that she did serve as president of the American Student Dental Association as a member and delegate in the past. I find that to be an incredible honor and distinction. She also was recently recognized as the Texas New Dentist of the Year. Guys, that's huge. That is, by the way, because Chad's from Texas. Texas is huge. Like, this is a huge honor.
That's really huge from the best state in the union. I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, that's impressive.
Her accolades go on and on. But let me just tell you, having been on her podcast, she has a phenomenal way of communicating, and she carries the room and she carries the communication and the conversation incredibly well. And it's rare, frankly, that you meet individuals in our profession that seem to already be so much wiser than their years would indicate. And it's not just about clinical dentistry, but just a level of maturity that it's quite refreshing. So without further ado, it is my honor to introduce tonight's guest, Dr. Tanya Maestas.
Hello, Dinks. How you doing?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for that lovely introduction and for hyping me up. And now that you said that I speak so eloquently, I'm going to be stumbling all over my words tonight, I'm sure.
That's okay. We let Chad do that all the time.
Fair enough.
But they're probably smaller words than you're worried about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the and.
Well, I'm super pumped like to be
say,
here.
Before we go too much further, who was correcting the pronunciation of your last name?
Well, Jeff got it the fifth time that he said it. So, you know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He came around. He came around.
I got a, yeah. I'll take a high D on that.
Yeah. D for dentist. All right, Tanya, what do you think about that latest news? The passing of some additional funding?
Oh, yeah, super pumped. Hope my salary goes up. Right? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I really hope that there are more positions available in FQHCs and public health centers to help fund these dentists who are graduating. I think that, you know, after you finish school, if you decide to do a residency, that's great. But if you're looking for a way to get some hands-on training, if you're thinking, you know, I want to practice dentistry, I want to have some mentorship, I don't think private practice is the right place for me right now, don't really want to do corporate, public health is an exceptional place to be. Not only are you going to build your skill, but you're also going to be helping a community that likely doesn't have access to a whole lot of care. So it's very rewarding. You're usually paid off a salary, which is nice, no matter how many patients you see. And if you take some time off, you usually get some PTO. So that's really nice. So I'm really excited to see, you know, what that funding will do in increasing positions at different sites across the nation, but also what that funding will do as far as providing care at the already established sites. You know, we do a lot of free dental care in our clinics, and there are limited amount of funds that we can use to give out some of this free care. So hopefully that funding will go towards that.
Are we still seeing a lot of support on debt forgiveness? I know those programs, when I graduated back in 2007, that was actually pretty prevalent, both on the federal and state level. Definitely folks could join programs where they would get debt help. It might not be 100% excuse of the loan, but, you know, certainly contributed.
Are those
programs still alive and well, or are they is that another area in which we need additional funding?
Yeah, federally, I would say that they're probably doing okay. I think that, you know, if we had more funding, we'd probably have more opportunities. Statewide, it really depends your state. Texas used to have a really prevalent program years ago that went towards, you know, doing something similar, funding dentists who are coming out to provide dentistry in an underserved area. I don't think that really exists anymore. And I know that was up in legislation this past year. The end of the story is that it just depends the state. Some states are better than others. And so, you know, if you have the opportunity to lobby in your state for more funding, please do so, because it's really needed.
Hey, Jeff, apparently it's come to our attention that you and I suck at the news.
Yeah, Chad, I've actually kind of known that for a while, and that's why what we've had to do is give people more of what they really deserve, which is more JB. So we actually have a segment now called News on the Go with Dennis in the Know. In fact, I like the idea of JB's News on the Go with Dennis in the Know. So stay tuned for that. It's its own podcast. I'm really excited about it, and guess what? There's no Chad and Jeff.
All right, Chad, you can ask your question now.
Well, what's really funny is I was about to preface my question with pardon my ignorance, but I was going to ask the exact same question that you asked. Serious? Because like you, I mean, I graduated in 99, and that was a big way for people to repay their loans. So that we were on the same page.
Well, and our loans weren't even that big. I mean, in comparison to what folks are graduating with right now. So,
yeah. Yeah,
gosh, I mean, I saw yesterday one dental school, I can't remember what school it was, $113,000 a year, which is, I mean, it's not the most expensive, but it's definitely not the least expensive. Right. I mean, it's crazy what these young people are coming out of dental school, the type of debt they're coming out with.
It's crazy. Absurd, really.
Yeah, it really, really is.
So my question is this, is, you know, obviously, you're a great advocate for organized dentistry, and all of us have certainly, you know, put a lot of time into that and value that very, very much. It's, you know, it's given me so much insight as to what happens at the higher level and how important it is that we can't just sit around and complain, that mm-hmm. we actually have to be the voices of change if we want to see change. But, you know, one of the things that we've seen is it was really easy in my era when everything only cost 10 cents
yeah.
to be able to join all of the groups mm-hmm. out there. And it really wasn't as cost prohibitive as it is for a lot of dentists, or at least perceived as cost prohibitive as it does now. And so I guess my question would be this is, how do you instill in a young dentist why it's so important to be a part of organized dentistry, you know, especially at a time where they're just really pinching mm-hmm. pennies to stay afloat and trying to allocate their overhead dollars?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, personally, I just don't think it should even be a question. If you want your profession,
I agree, but
if you want your profession to be protected, you have to have organizations behind you and representatives who are dentists representing the profession. And the only way to do that is your membership. If you're not able to get involved as a leader, you have to be a member, because those leaders who can get involved and can dedicate their time, they're the ones that are going to lobby and advocate for you. So for me, it's never really been a question as to if. So my encouragement to others, especially those new dentists, is to just do it and make time and find time to at least get involved at a local level. And if there are things that you want to see change, you got to make time to get involved and grow in the ranks so that way you can get involved at a national level and really let your voice be heard. If we want to see changes from the newer generation, from my generation, us new dentists, we have to get involved early enough, because it does take a long time to make it to the top. But I'll tell you that there are a lot of more seasoned dentists who are ready to listen and to bring your ideas to the table, but you have to get involved in order for anything to happen.
Do you think your time with ASDA, and, you know, sometimes you go through the ranks and you get to the top and you know, you see how the sausage is made, you know, essentially, yeah. and yeah, you're yeah. like, oh gosh, never, you know, whatever. Like, let's reflect back on that time, your year as presidency, and, you know, things that you definitely took away from that. You're like empowered, and this is why organized dentistry has to exist. And was there anything you took away going, man, this really could stand a bit of a tweak?
Yeah, I think a lot of organized dentistry can stand a tweak. I don't think that there's anything in particular that comes to mind, mm-hmm. but I think that, you know, every year we are faced with different challenges as a profession as a whole. And I think that there are a set of leaders that we have, you know, that are there to represent us, and they're the ones that are deciding on our behalf. They may not be making the right decisions for us, but we really need to have our own, as laymen and women, you know, laymen and dentists and women, we really need to let our voice be heard, so that way they can, their vote, their decision can be reflective of how we feel. And so I felt that we as students in the American Student Dental Association really had a voice and an impact as to, you know, different things that were going on during those years that we were involved. And the connection that we had with the ADA wasn't great. I think that it's gotten better, that connection between students and practicing dentists. But I think that there's a lot of value in having seasoned dentists reach out to current students and young dentists to see what we want the future of the profession to look like, so that way they can already start taking those steps to help, you know, mold it. And, you know, student debt has always been a big thing that we've always advocated for. And it's not something that's going to change quickly. But I think that if we continue just to kind of raise our voice and lobby for the issue, I think that in the future, hopefully we will see some change.
Hey, Dinks podcast listeners. After the show, be sure and rate and review your favorite Dink. I mean, rate and review Dinks as one of your favorite podcasts.
I heard that.
We'd love to hear what you have to say. Thanks for listening in. See you next time.
I want to throw a name out there and just see your reaction.
Your name dropping?
Dr. Tommy Harrison.
Oh, the best. The best.
You know, when I say that name, I say it because we're both from Texas, but I can remember Dr. Harrison from my junior and senior year in dental school, and how much of an impact he had on us to stick with organized dentistry. He went out one of his jobs at the time was to go to the graduating dental school classes and talk to them about organized dentistry and stuff. And, you know, every single year, I've been out of dental school 25 years this coming year, and every single year I see him at some event in some capacity promoting organized dentistry. And just most recently, he was at the ADA, and I saw him, you know, just shaking hands and directing people, you know, throughout the convention center at the ADA. And it was so great to see him. But it's people like that and like you that are going to make an impact in our profession. And I think, unfortunately, one of the things that I see, and I'm asking you this now, is that do you feel that sometimes there's a lot of excitement around ASDA and then that just dies down when you get into the real world and you kind of graduate from ASDA to the ADA and you're no longer the new dentist as time goes on and whatnot?
Yeah. So first, Tommy, amazing human, right? He's such a big advocate for people in general and a big advocate for the profession. But yes, I completely agree. I think that there's a huge drop off. One, because, you know, as a student, especially those who are national leaders, you have so much momentum and you have a lot of say and people listen to you. And once you graduate, you drop down to the very bottom. And you may be moving to an area where, you know, maybe people don't know who you are and what you did in dental school. And so you kind of have to start from the bottom up. And at the same time, you know, it's a very kind of primitive year in your life where you're trying to start maybe your practice, your family. And so that can be hard to juggle. But I think starting from the bottom can be very difficult. And some people may lose that enthusiasm that they had in dental school. But I also think that there is a issue with many of our organized organized dentistry associations in showing the value that they offer in their organization. I think that that's kind of just across the board with all of the organizations. And I think that most of the organizations are cognizant in that. And they are taking steps to ensure that they are advocating and they're showing their members what they can do for them and what value they bring. But I think that that's a current struggle currently that a lot of these organizations are facing that need to kind of fix in order for us to get more membership, especially from us younger generation.
I agree, because you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, I think that you get all this hype in dental school and then you get knocked down as a quote unquote new dentist, where it's almost as if your opinion doesn't really matter, you know, for the first several years, because you haven't been in the profession long enough. I mean, that's the way that I see it from an outsider looking in. I've never held a position in organized dentistry. I probably should, but
you should. You know, the thing, Dad, is, we need your voice.
I see that, and it's very disheartening. Whereas I wish that momentum could keep going beyond dental school, because that is the future of our profession, and it's those people that are going to have the ability to make the difference when it comes to things like what we just talked about with Smile Direct Club and those types of things that are infiltrating our profession and really a detriment. And so I think that we've got to work to change that.
For sure. I think for me, you know, I had a lot of support at Houston at the dental school and also through the Dental Society in Houston. And so moving to El Paso was kind of difficult for me. I knew some dentists here, but I knew I wanted to get involved pretty quickly and run through the ranks really fast. And, you know, I was kind of told that things take time, and that's fine. I respect the process, and I have been able to move up fairly quickly, maybe not as quick as I was hoping. But I think that for me kind of just stopped me in my tracks. You know, I had a lot of momentum as the president. It was a lot of fun. But I'm very gracious to have the opportunities to serve here locally and also on a national level with the ADA. But I do want to remind everyone, especially when you're considering whether or not you want to renew your membership, if we ever have something like COVID come back around, I want to remind everyone that it was organized dentistry that allowed these practices to open up 2 weeks earlier than everything else. And so I think that without organized dentistry and without our voices and representation, things can really be put at a halt. And so we really need just that representation.
You know, we had a great lobbyist.
We have run out of time.
No, she made a great point. In Texas, we had a great lobbyist. Jess Calvert did a great job pushing dentistry to the forefront. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead. I just had to say that.
Oh, Jeff, did you want to be on the show? Did you want to be on the show?
Oh, I didn't see you there. No, please, Chad. Now, listen, we have all had our runs like this. I mean, it's great when you get into this kind of a conversation where it really just becomes great conversation, yeah, where you can go back and forth like that. You get excited about it. And really, we've all had our times where we've spoken maybe for a little longer than we should. That's almost every day of my life. But anyway, my point was going to be this, that, you know, I think one of the biggest concerns was mentioned a little bit earlier when you said, you know, we're trying to attract all of these young members and get them excited and want to get them involved. And yet the people who are all in leadership in a lot of these groups don't really resonate with that group. They look at it and say, well, this is a group, and forgive me because I'm becoming one of them, this is a group run by dinosaurs. And why do I want to be really involved? And but the interesting thing with that is, and one of the things that I noticed, because I really got very involved, I was always an AGD member, always an ADA member, always involved in all these organizations, but I didn't really get into leadership until mid-career. And one of the things that amazed me was how quickly, if you really seem to be motivated and you're enthusiastic and you really show people that you want to get involved, how quickly you really can, mm-hmm, you know, be put forth as a volunteer. And then you do a great job and they're like, oh, well, you know, you need Jennifer Bell on, you know, on your committee. You need Jennifer Bell on your committee. You might want Chad DePlantis, but why would you want him when there's Jennifer Bell who's on the other committee, right? It's this thing. Good. You like that, Chad? No, the point here is that I think dentists, even when organizations have older leadership, dentists look at these organizations and say, look, it's all old people. It's all run by old people. But I do think it's easy to rise in the ranks. You may not get to be president in your first couple of years. You may not get to be on the executive committee, but with a little bit of enthusiasm, I think it is easy to get on important committees and have some impact. Would you agree with that, JB? And I'm only messing with you, Chad. I say JB because we kind of watched each other rise through the ranks of North Carolina and South Carolina AGD.
Tony, do you want to tackle that or...
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, one of the things that really irks me is when I see people going back and forth and bickering about things that they don't like about organized industry, and that accomplishes nothing. If you want things to change, you got to get involved. And if you show that eagerness of wanting to be a leader and wanting to get involved and reach out to somebody who is already involved, they'll find a spot for you. And that's where you really can start your rant. We want those people who have, you know, those negative opinions, who have different ideas to be at the table. If not, we're never going to change. So that's kind of how I feel. And sometimes when I, you know, start lecturing and talking about this, I think maybe I've drank too much of the Kool-Aid, but I think it is really important. You know, I think that, you know, I just hope that people get encouraged to find their place in the profession, especially as a leader.
To your point, Jeff, I think on a local level, if you're enthusiastic and you keep showing up and, you know, you are able to move, ironically, into positions of power very fast because In some areas it's a pulse check. Like, do you have a pulse? Did you say yes? You're the new president of this local constituency of the AGD or, you know, whatever. And it just depends on the year and the number of people who have decided to raise their hands. And I've been with specifically in the deep in the trenches with AGD long enough to see the ebbs and flows on the local level of when constituents are very strong and when they're not as strong. And it's all about who raises their hand and has a pulse that year and agrees to come on. I think the frustrating thing, though, is that there is still this mentality, and Tani kind of alluded to it a little bit, of like, you have to earn your stripes, you have to earn your rank, you have to earn your position to be involved. And there's so much, number one, value that we get from young doctors who can at least represent that perspective, that can give us, you know, certainly she's giving us more perspective on what it is to be a young doctor today than I can give, than you can give, than Chad can give. But the other piece of it is that, you know, most profit companies understand this phenomenon very well. A strong leader is a strong leader. Someone who's able to learn an organization quickly, become indoctrinated, drink the Kool-Aid of what the mantra, mission, vision is of that particular group, and then use the skill set they're either inherently gifted with as part of their just personality and own intellect, or skills they've acquired over the years, and apply that. Like, every organization wins in that scenario. And there's this real struggle, frankly, in organized dentistry to embrace that profit model of saying, I just want to find the best person who can do this job. And I don't care if you've been a dentist for 2 minutes or 60 years. Like, if you're the best person to lead us to through this trench, through this difficult time, to this next evolution of what we really need to look like, then you're the leader for us. And I, you know, maybe that's my own personal journey, but it sounds like maybe Tanya's experienced a little bit of that as well, coming from someone who ran a student organization of how many members?
I think at the time was like 23,000, something like that.
Correct. So just shy of what AGD is. And yet, you know, could you have the same skill set and capacity to run the AGD? And I would argue you do. Do you need people on the bench? Do you need people in your board to provide perspective on the facets of the career that you haven't experienced yet? Absolutely. But can you be a visionary and a leader and, you know, push an organization forward? 100%. And I think that's where we're so short-sighted and where we miss these young dentists so early, is that we put the brakes on them, just like she experienced. Like, yeah, you have all these phenomenal skill sets, but we're going to put you in your corner for about 10 years.
Yeah, I've definitely been told, you know, it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. You got to put your time in before you get there and, you know, wait your turn. And, you know, we see, especially when we look at the House of Representatives or the delegation at the ADA and at our states, oftentimes the average age of the delegation maybe isn't really representative of the average age of dentists. And I think that that's very concerning because there are decisions being made with not the majority of people that should be there. And I think that if you do say no, or if you don't get those who want to get involved at the time that they want to get involved, they're going to be discouraged and they're going to leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, I still stand with my first statement saying that if you want to get involved, you'll likely find a place, and people like Tommy Harrison will find that place for you. But for states that don't have a Tommy Harrison or somebody to look out for those who want to get involved at an early age, you know, what's going to happen to them? They're going to get discouraged and they're going to do something else.
So let me be a little bit controversial, because that's what we do, and ask to both Tanya and JB, because a little bit of an age gap there. And so
whoa,
I'm curious.
Whoa. Well,
yeah.
Damn it.
You're catching up to me.
Just a handful of years, right? We're all close in age.
I cannot catch up to you. That's not how it works. Like, you're not stagnant and I'm just moving up.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's working. But no, the question that I have is this, is how does gender fit into all of that? I mean, did you see any gender bias along with the age bias, which might have made it a little more difficult for two amazing people like you, you know, who, you know, quite frankly, the talent is just so obvious. I don't know, Chad, have you had any gender bias going against you?
Don't ask the man.
No,
I am genuinely curious about, you know, to hear your perspective on this, because I know what I've seen over the years, and I've watched it go from a real good old boys club to, okay, you know, oh, she's all right, to really, this is the majority of our profession now.
Right.
And these are smart, talented people that need to be the leaders of this organization. And what's going on here? So I'm just curious to kind of hear the perspective on that from two slightly different generations.
I think, you know, I have a hard time answering this personally, because many of the people who introduced me to organized dentistry were older men. You know, they were very welcoming. Those who supported me in dental school, the dean, the associate deans, they were all men. As a organization as a whole, absolutely. You see it across the board. And I feel like that sentiment is still there, that it is still very much a good old boys club. You know, there are still a lot of older white men who are predominantly, you know, representatives in the delegation. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I think that there's value in having diversity, diversity in gender, in age, in ethnicity, in cultures. I think that there's a lot of value in people bringing just that different perspective to the table. And so it's always difficult for me to say that because I'm very grateful and thankful that I've never personally really experienced that. But I've definitely seen it happen as a whole. So I feel like individually, no, but in a group setting, absolutely.
Yeah. So probably just being slightly older, couple months. I probably experienced a little more of it personally. I think that's hopefully the evolution of how we've grown. So I definitely have had moments where I know that I was put in my place because of my gender, regardless of my leadership capability, et cetera. But that being said, I have a very similar story to Tanya in that there were enough like very key instrumental men who saw something in me and provided me opportunity along the way that certainly gave me a path forward, regardless of, individuals who maybe we're still kind of struggling a little bit with the change. I think the biggest observation, and Tanya sort of highlights this, is that if you look at the AGD house, which just happens to be the one that I'm more familiar with, it's actually a pretty diverse group of individuals. Like you see, it's 40% female, large number of ethnicities and age demographics. And you've got pregnant women walking around. Like I was pregnant at several of them. Like it's this very nice.
I think
like,
you were pregnant at every one of them.
All
Jamie.
Of them.
Yeah.
Poor Dr. Chester always checked my belly before he even saw my eyes, just so he could sort of gauge how the mood was going to be. So, you know, I think the delegation is actually becoming more and more representative of the general population of dentists. Whatever that demographic happens to look like. But again, it goes back to it's difficult for, I'll be very stereotypical here because I am female and I play a very traditional role in my family. I am the mom of three and I do run a business, and it's very difficult for me to give up the time that it would require in order for me to continue to ascend into other chairs within AGD. And it's quite frankly a time constraint, or we're operating in very archaic structures in which we can't provide the flexibility for females to take on leadership roles. So, you know, until the modality of 4-hour Zoom calls and, you know, being on the road all the time and doing all these other requirements to be a part of the leadership and be instrumental in decision-making changes, it will always be difficult, I think, particularly for women who do have more traditional roles still in the family, to ascend up through leadership until they reach a certain age, more like your demographic, Jeff, whose kids are out of the house and can, give more of their own personal time. Maybe they're more successful professionally as well, and they can sort of step back a little bit from that. So
that's a very big reality, I would say, for most, if not all women, especially those who, you know, do choose to have children and want to provide that, be that role at home. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's another reason why maybe we're not seeing that great of a shift in the demographic of the House of Delegates across the board. Because like we mentioned, you know, for us and the younger generation who are just starting their family, just starting their practices, it can be hard to get away from that. So as you get older and maybe you have more time, your kids are off in college, that might be the right time and the right opportunity for you to start getting involved. So I completely see it from both sides. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's just one solution. I think that things will kind of just change as life goes on.
Okay, you can talk again now, Chad.
Yeah, he's been so quiet.
So quiet. Do you have a poker chip?
I do. I do. I have a fidget problem. We'll deal with that later.
Okay. That's another
episode. The question I have is to me something that I think a lot of people want to know. What do you all see as going forward? What is it going to take for the masses to realize that organized dentistry is in our favor? And you know, where is that shift going to come to where people are going to say, you know what? I mean, it's just a matter of just writing the check every year. It's just rather than deciding or debating whether they're going to write it or not, it's a matter of, yes, I'm going to write this check. Where do you see that changing? Does that question make sense?
It does. And I think that that's the question they're all asking. I think that if we had the answer, you know, we would change it. I personally think for that to happen, something big is going to need to happen. You know, whether it's something like COVID or something that will impact the profession so drastically that the only way out of it is organized dentistry. In my opinion, I feel like that's the only way that people will see the true value of what organized dentistry is already doing. For those to not question whether or not they're going to write that check. I personally think that's what needs to happen, sadly. Hopefully, you know, nothing crazy happens, but I think that that's probably what will end up happening for that big drastic change to occur. But hopefully, you know, people will start to see value in the changes that they want to see in organized dentistry start to happen and, you know, find faith in the organizations again, feel that way.
I think that one of the things that needs to happen is that, you know, there needs to be a bigger push against the Smile Direct clubs and, you know, all of these mail order services that are happening that are a detriment to our profession. And that's one of the things that, you know, unfortunately, I don't think Smile Direct Club failed because of the ADA or the AGD. I think it failed because it was a horrible business model. And there's a lot of problems that have come out in the long run. But I would just love to see more advocacy against that, or at least boisterous. And let's at least, I know that there's things going on behind the scenes, but I'd love to see more advertisement in that, is that this is what we're doing against it. This is what we're doing, you know, to show you that we support you and not them, you know.
It sounds like we need to get you on a work group.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
And here's the deal.
You're gonna get voluntold.
I'm not saying that there was no push against that. I'm just saying that I don't know that it was visible to the general public. And that's where I know that there's stuff going on behind the scenes, but, you know, let's show everybody what we're doing and, you know, and how we're, you know, combating insurance companies and, you know, corporate dentistry and this and that. You know, what are we doing? What do we got going on? I don't know.
Yeah. I think better communication for sure. And what's already going on, I think, is very important as well.
And Chad, while you were on your 30-minute one man act, you were actually nominated for the Texas Price. AGD presidency. I don't know if you saw that in the comments, but apparently this is happening. So strap your boots on, man. It's happening.
It was Fort Worth, much smaller scale. And thanks, Martha.
That's step one. Fort Worth, yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, sorry, I was just going to say, we talked a little bit about this at SmileCon, but one of those fundamental changes could be states considering leaving the tripartite. And I'm not encouraging that, but I do think that could be, you know, even just the discussion, if nothing else comes of that, I hope it opens up a very intense conversation for the board of ADA to say, how do we maintain relevancy? How do we keep, it's really difficult to keep all the opinions and needs of dentists that have such a wide variety, background, practice, modalities, ethnicities, genders, like all the things. And I think this is continuing to highlight how challenging it is to be a centralized organization for a large group of people.
Absolutely. Yep. California wanted to pull a Texas and try to secede, but
yeah,
you know, it was very scary. And I think it's going to come up again.
I think
don't
it
know
is.
If it'll just be California. I think other states will probably, you know, consider it. Mm-hmm. And that's really scary. It's really scary. I think being fragmented will probably be worse.
Well, the concern especially is that, you know, the only way that we can ever make inroads against large corporations is through large organizations. You can't take these smaller groups and go up against, you know, a large corporation that just has an endless pocketbook for attorneys and things like that. It really is going to take a cohesive group to take these things down. And to your point, Chad, you know, I think that our organizations that represent us do need to let us know what they're doing or what they're at least trying to do, you know, in an effort to preserve what, you know, what we should see as our core values. And I think that may be one of our shortcomings right now is, you know, even though we are a really diverse group, I think dentistry should really have just some basic core values that we adhere to that apply to all of the specialty groups and everyone. I mean, we're all going to have our own interests. I get that. But I think as a profession, we should hold, maintain, and make known what our core values are. And maybe that's where the deficiency is right now, is just not having those core values clearly stated.
Yeah. Well said, perhaps.
Who knows? We'll see. I think legislatively it's always very difficult because the state by state nuances that come forward, you know, the ADA has to represent a large demographic of individuals, and what works in Maine doesn't always translate in Texas, doesn't always translate in California. And it is a very challenging balance for them to find, how do we represent them all fairly and equally? They're all paying dues. They're all part of this organization, and we want to give dentistry the fair shake and any opportunity. But at the end of the day, there will be certain things that come up that will
Why not start with what we all agree on?
Yeah. Right? Like,
here are the things that are important to all of us. Let's start there and then hash out all the things that we don't agree on.
I think too, and I think Tanya would support this, the biggest opportunity for organized groups that I don't think they leverage enough are all of us, like right now, talking about them. Yeah. And, you know, advocating for membership, advocating on their behalf to a totally different audience who probably has some breakdown of members and non-members, to talk about its impact and reach, the things that it's doing. And we talk about that in the news quite frequently, how the ADA is involved in a lot of the legislation and other things that are going on. And how, you know, they partner with New Dentists on the Block and Dental Fuel and Dentists in the Know to say, you know, we're gonna continue to get the message out both to our members and non-members of what's really happening, because it is communication, but it's not about just an email or a news blast or whatever to their membership base. It's so much bigger than that to get the message out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that, you know, obviously we feel passionate about this, and I think it's because we see the value. And I also think that we have an understanding of what could happen if we don't have these organizations. And I think I would love to see, you know, an opportunity for, you know, the ADA or the AGD to bring a lot of these leaders like yourselves and others who run Facebook groups who are very cognizant of the conversations that happen on a regular basis, to see what ideas you all have to bring to the table as well. I think that that's an idea. I think that this is a great way to get the voice of those who aren't members be represented, so that way some changes can happen.
In close, I would love, because we probably could keep going on like this
for sure. For a while. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about how people can find you. Current multiple podcasts that you're running, and also kind of the topics that they might expect from each one.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram at tsmaestas.dds. I make some funny reels. And
you mispronounced that, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't add the R.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Thank you, Tanya, for picking that
up. Every letter is pronounced in my name in some way. So in my last name. And I make some funny reels, and hopefully you think they're funny as well too. And I host two podcasts, one being New Dentist on the Block. This is an opportunity for me to share the New Dentist story and to share all the cool things that New Dentists are doing around the nation, pretty much around the world. I recently spoke to somebody out of England, so that episode will probably be out in the new year. And for me, it's an opportunity to reconnect with a lot of my ASDA friends who are doing really phenomenal things and just showcase their leadership in their states. And then I host Dental Fuel for Ignite DDS, which is an opportunity for me to talk to the more seasoned and talk a little bit about the mistakes that they've made and learn pearls from those mistakes so that way we can all grow in our own individual dental journeys. So that's me in a nutshell.
Oh, that might be why we were invited.
We'll do a trio episode for New Dentist on the Block.
I think it's all becoming very clear now.
Yeah.
I've had seasoned dentists on New Dentist on the Block.
Yeah. Well, it was a wonderful chat. Like Jennifer said, we could have gone on forever. I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to thank Jeff for putting an R in your last name.
Yes.
I don't even know where the R
is. I am not a teacher, but it was close.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that I'd like to say to our audience is that if we're wondering what the future of dentistry looks like, it's right there. That's the future of dentistry. Tanya, listened to us, which we have different views than you know many out there, but she listened to us. She took everything that we said to heart, which we appreciate. And we can do one of two things. We can sit here and bitch about what organized dentistry does, or we can actually take an active role and try and be the change. And I think that's what Tanya is doing. So thank you very much for being the change, for being the future. And I have a whole laundry list of executive orders for you when you do get into the presidency, okay?
Well, so, I hope that I do a good job at representing the profession well and representing, you know, my generation well too.
You do. You do a great job of all of the above. So quit complaining, be the change, support the organization, and make your voice heard.
Yeah. It's the season. It's time to renew your dues.
It's the season for renewals.
Yeah.
Dental professional in your life, a little something special, a little ADA gift card, and that went a long way, you know?
Yeah, that's what they need to do is give the gift of membership this season.
And just to the younger dentist, if your dues came in March, I still think you'd get your sticker.
So, yeah, probably. Yeah.
I'm going to throw one more thing in here. We're over time, but I've got to say this. If it weren't for organized dentistry, me and that lady would
never
have met. I mean, maybe we would have met along the way at CE or something, but not at the level and getting to know and work with each other and really develop a mutual respect for each other. And you know, Chad, it wasn't organized dentistry that I met you through, but it was through an educational group that we were both teaching for. And it's community. It's another form of community and working towards a common goal. And some of the bonds that you will make along the way could end up being some of the greatest friendships in your life.
100%.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if it weren't for ASDA, I wouldn't have met David and I probably wouldn't have met y'all. So cheers to that. And three of the coolest people that I've met this year. So thanks for the opportunity.
Cheers to that.
Thank you all. Thanks everybody for watching. Sorry we kept you late.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Happy holidays.
Thanks for tuning in today, folks. Today's episode was brought to you in educational partnership from QOptics, a fantastic corporation with loops and quality aspiration devices.
So my first introduction to QOptics was through the first set of loops that I have really loved. I am at an advanced age. Let's not get past that. I need loops to tie my shoes now. QOptics provides a pair of loops that are so light, so easy to use, and literally I carry them around in my car all the time now. Best set of loops I've ever had. And no doubt that between their service and and the people behind them and the quality of the product, that this is just one of our best educational partners.
I would agree. Thank you so much, Q Optics, for being a partner at Dentist in the Know.
So, gang, that's it for today's show. We want to thank you for tuning in, but more importantly, we want to thank you for being a part of Dentist in the Know. I'm Dr. Jeff Horowitz.
I'm Dr. Chad Duplantis.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Bell, and we're Dentists in the Know.
Remember, gang, dentistry is an amazing profession, but it's way more rewarding when you're in the know.